Mary was a young girl. She lived in a small town. Her life was simple. She was going to marry Joseph. Then, an angel came.
Hello, Mary.
Mary was surprised. She wasn't rich, she wasn't famous, but she was special to God. The angel said,
"Don't be afraid. You will have a baby. His name will be Jesus. He will be God's son."
Mary had questions.
"How can this be?
God will make it happen. The child will be holy."
Mary could have said no, but she said yes. She trusted God.
"I am God's servant. May everything you have said come true."
Mary's yes made room for Jesus. Our yes can too. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to trust you, just like Mary did.
Amen.
Amen. So what we're going to do now is transition so that our children who'd like to go to our Sunlight programming have the opportunity to do that. I want to make sure that I do the instructions very detailed and as specific as we possibly can. So first of all, parents of children 4 years old through third grade, if you want your child to go in Sunlight but have not checked them in, if you did not receive the sticky tags, if they don't have tags on them, that's what we're going to look for in just a second here. What I want you to do first is all of you parents and children, go find Rachel back there at the back door. She's waving her hand right now. And so we need parents and those children to go back with Rachel, and she'll get you checked in and then show the children where to go. And parents are going to come back in here. I want to make sure we get you taken care of first. Okay. So we're going to start off with our bigger students here, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, Club 456 students. If you want to head back to find Trevor with the orange flag, and all of our wonderful helpers have the blinky necklaces on so you can see them. Fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, head back with Trevor. You're going to see your small group leaders and volunteers kind of come back there too from the congregation. You're going to see a lot of familiar faces. Just find that orange flag and we'll send you back to the Club 456 room. Awesome. Great to have you all here for our worship, and you're going to enjoy that Bible teaching up in the Club 456 room. There they go. Excellent. Way to lead the way, you guys. First, second, and third graders, if you're going to head down to Miss Marissa's room, she's back there with the green flag right now. I want you first, second, third graders to head on back to her right over there. You're going to see those small group leaders coming back with you. Get a nice straight line and head on down to that first, second, and third grade room. Excellent. Thank you so much. See those familiar, happy faces, and you're going to head on out that way. All right, bye first, second, and third graders. Just a quick reminder for parents, we're still keeping the integrity of our checkout system. You still have to have this sticker at those program areas when you check your children out. All right, last, our kindergartners and pre-kindergarten children, go ahead and stand up. You're going to see Miss Ruth back there with the yellow flag. Go ahead and find her and your small group leaders. Head on back right over there. Love those blinky necklaces that our volunteers have. Head on back there. You're going to follow that yellow flag on downstairs to the pre-KK room. Very good, very good. We'll see you all later. Thank you so much, children, for joining us in worship. Let me pray for us. God, whoever, wherever, however is receiving your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that it brings us back to truth, brings us back to you. Thank you for the preparations that we make for your advent to your people. Thank you, God, for this season and all that makes it happen for us to put your word into life, our lives. In your name, amen.
She was a young girl, ordinary, unknown, living in a dusty town with a quiet future laid out before her, betrothed to Joseph, preparing for marriage, planning a simple life, and then an angel appeared.
"Greetings, favored one," he said. "The Lord is with you." Mary was troubled by his words because she knew who she was. She wasn't royal. She wasn't rich. She wasn't anyone the world would call important, but God did.
The angel spoke again. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." And then came the unthinkable. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, the Messiah, the promised one, the one that would come from David's line and sit on the throne, God's own son in her womb."
She had questions. Of course she did. "How can this be?" she asked. And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child born will be holy, the Son of God."
In that moment, Mary could have said no. She could have walked away, held on to the safety of what she knew, the plans she had made. But instead, she surrendered. Not with full understanding, but with full trust.
"I am the servant of the Lord," she said. "Let it be to me according to your word." And with that simple yes, the story of salvation moved forward. Heaven came to earth through her surrender.
She would carry the Christ. She would be misunderstood, gossiped about, risk losing Joseph, her family, her reputation. She would one day watch her son suffer and die. And still, she said yes.
This is the wonder of Mary, not just that she was chosen, but that she trusted the one who chose her. In a world that values control, Mary teaches us the beauty of letting go. In a culture obsessed with power, Mary shows us the strength of submission. In a season filled with noise, Mary invites us into quiet trust.
Her surrender made room for the Savior, and our surrender does the same. So, this Advent, may we stand in awe of Mary's courage, not because she understood everything, but because she believed God was good.
May we, like Mary, make room in our hearts for the unexpected. May we, like Mary, welcome Christ with wonder. May we, like Mary, say, "Let it be to me according to your word."
Good morning. You know, that last few lines there is really the heart of this message, that we would be like Mary. And what we're going to be doing in this Advent season is to really take a look at some of the people that were around the Advent, that were participants in that. We're going to look at how they responded and see if we might learn something from them. You know, I was thinking about being thankful, you know, Thanksgiving and all, and maybe you were too. And I thought about some of the things that I'm thankful for. And one of them is what happened last week. Can we go ahead and show that picture? You know, just pretty amazing to be able to commission Dan and Madison. And that's answered prayer. Karen and I have prayed that. I know others have prayed that we would grow in our understanding of what God's wanting to do in reaching the world. And that God would raise up people. And as he raises up those people, that they would just respond to him in faith. That they'd be like Mary and say, "Hey, just as you said it, that's what I want to happen." And so that was an exciting day for sure. And somebody asked me, "You don't seem as excited about this as I thought you might be." They know Karen and I well, and the burden that we have to see people that have never heard, and aren't going to hear the gospel, can't celebrate Advent, can't celebrate Christmas, don't celebrate Easter, because they've never heard of who Jesus Christ is. This is a milestone in our church. We're sending them out, and I thought about that. Yeah, why am I not more excited? Well, I probably was more excited inside than I was on the outside. That's part of it. But there's also part of me that's anxious for them, concerned for them. My excitement was kind of tempered with recognizing what they're going to face and the difficulties and the trials and the challenges. And I was thinking about that in context of this message then. That how God is the one who's going to do these things. And that's exactly what we're going to see. And I know that for many of us, that step is too far and too big, but I'm talking about the step that God wants us to take today. Listening to him and following his leading. Trusting his word and following his word. That we'd recognize that we don't have anything to really offer other than our surrender. And as that narrative was being read in that heart of Mary, that she wasn't bringing all this, but she trusted in the one who was calling her to be the mother of God. And I was thinking about so many other things that God is doing in this church, thankful for them. I think about people coming to faith. I think about all the baptisms we've had this past year. I think about the growth and the way that this body is relating to each other and we're coming together and how God is using Stephen ministers, is using volunteers and people finding their purpose. It's amazing, it's thrilling to me, and I have the advantage to hear a lot of these stories, and it's thrilling, it's exciting. And I think about that and the way that he's working. And you're probably thinking, well, is this the end of the year speech? Like, don't we do this in January where we look back and we celebrate and then we look forward? And it's not the new year yet. I kind of wish it was. But it's not the new year. But what we're going into is a new season. And I don't know about you, and I'll get the year right this time. Last service I said 2026. It's 2025. Did you guys know that? Thankfully, no one corrected me. Let me say it 8 times. I'm ready to have 25 and apparently 26 in the rearview mirror. I'm looking forward to 2026. This has been a year of some really highs and some pretty low lows for Karen and I. And so some of those things that are going on, it's like, man, I just kind of want to push through this. Let's get to the new year, a fresh start. We kind of evaluate things. We pray and we consider what God would have. And we see him clear. And we think about all the things that we see God doing and then what he wants to do. And that excites us, gives us energy. He gives us strength and sustains us. But I'll be honest, I'm just trying to get to the end of the year. And maybe you're like me. You know, you've gotten this far. And now we're heading into this crazy, busy, frenzied season. And what I want to challenge us with is to pause. Take that deep breath. Let's not just get through Advent. Let's not just power through, get through it, and then we'll kind of realign and refocus. I'm praying that we don't miss the opportunity that God is giving us. And this series is built on that idea of the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of our Savior coming to redeem us, the wonder that he would choose and be willing to become God incarnate for me, for you, for everyone. He came to be the Savior for the world. And wow, what a way that he came, the most unlikely way. And God often uses the unlikely people in unlikely places, and that's what it is. And yet I find that I follow, and I feel like we generally follow the customs of this world. We're told not to follow the customs of the world, but what are the customs of the world regarding Christmas? Well, it's friends, family, right? Family, that's a good thing. Football is a great thing, that's awesome. It's also frenzy, right? It's just chaotic. And if you can get through the holidays unscathed by illness, family fights, it's amazing. You're just trying to get through it, right? I was thinking that we had no drama at Thanksgiving. It was a little disappointing. I'm like, they're not even, come on, guys. You can do better. You're being nice. Hey. So you try to stir something up. I'm kidding. I didn't. Not a lot of drama, just nice, together. But you know, with the world with Christmas, after the presents, what do they have? They don't even know why we're celebrating Christmas, truly. They may know it's about Jesus and something. They haven't responded to him. He isn't their Savior. And so after Christmas, they basically are left with nothing, maybe some credit card debt, and certainly bills. Why do we do that? Why aren't we looking at Advent and Christmas the way that we should? You know, I think about establishing, and that's the hope as we go through the season, that we would do different than the world, because we know why Christ came. We know that at his arrival was the beginning of the end for the punishment of sin, which is death. The world has changed all that to talk about somebody. I won't name them. But the world's view is that there's almost like a godlike being who knows what we're doing. He sees us all the time, and he's judging us, and you're trying to get on the good list, not the bad list. You know what I'm talking about, right? Now, let me tell you something. He's a fraud. He's a charlatan. He's a fake. Let me tell you something else about that view. It's the antithesis of the gospel of grace. Because what does he do? He sees people and he puts them on a list. If they're good, he puts them over here and he does something for them. If they're bad, they're on this list and they don't get it. Can I just tell you something? We are all on a list, and it's not the nice one. It's the other list. Every single person who has ever lived, except the one we're celebrating and beginning to look forward to what he did, all of us are sinful. We're on the other list. We don't deserve anything. But unlike the charlatan of the world, our God, our Savior, the real person of Christmas, Jesus Christ, he brings a gift freely to all of us who are bad. And he died for us. Do you see how far apart those actually are? It's not about being on the list. It's about placing your faith in Christ, accepting him for who he says he is, placing our faith in him. So, I hope that we establish in our families, as a body of believers, the church family, that we would establish things that actually we'll be able to take into the future. Yes, we'll make memories, but we'll make memories around the true meaning of Christmas. And yes, we'll actually establish things that our kids and our grandkids can take into their futures, that they understand the meaning of Christmas, to change how we've done it. How many of you grew up in a church? I'd like to see your hand. How many of you grew up in a church where you had Christmas Eve services? Okay, quite a few of you. I don't know when we started doing Christmas services. And I think a few of you even have like 11 to midnight. You're done at midnight or something ridiculous. I didn't grow up that way. I'll tell you, it's one of my favorite things. And you know why we do those Christmas Eve services? Because there are people like you that raised your hands, and I won't name any others, Bonnie Swanson, but anybody, I won't name them, that insists that we do this, and we do it extremely well. Because for her and many of you, that was establishing the meaning of Christmas, that we come together and we focus on him. And it's one of my favorite services now. I love it. And to establish those things in your families that your kids and grandkids and you will remember, so that we'd focus on the meaning of Christmas. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26, and we're just going to look at Mary. It says this, in verse 26 down through 28. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Oh, there's a lot in there. I'm going to back up just a bit to the first part of this chapter. You see, God sent his angel first to Zechariah. Zechariah was an old guy. He's part of the priesthood. In fact, he was actually in the temple, and he was taking incense in there to praise God and as worship to God. This is a godly man. And his wife, Elizabeth, which is Mary's cousin. And so the angel comes to him. Now, the significance of coming to him is twofold. One, God had not spoken for 400 years. Like, we look at all the passages in the Bible, and God shows up here, and he speaks through this prophet, he speaks through that prophet, he speaks through that apostle. It seems like it was just a constant. It wasn't 400 years, God didn't say a word to Israel. And the first time God speaks, he tells Zechariah, "You are going to have a son, and he's going to be like Elijah. He's going to have the power and the spirit of Elijah," which is the Holy Spirit, "is going to be upon him, and he is going to prepare the way for the Christ. He is the forerunner. His job is going to be get everybody ready for the Messiah." Zechariah, this old, wise, godly man, you know what he said? He started asking questions. And it's not that the questions are wrong. We can ask God questions. That's fine. But it was hard. He didn't believe God. And so Gabriel's offended. I got this from God, and I'm telling you, so you're not going to be able to say a word. Instead of you being able to go out of here and proclaim to everyone what God's doing, you get nothing. You can't even talk. You won't be able to talk until the forerunner, which is John the Baptist, is going to be born. 400 years of silence. Now this message. Zechariah didn't believe God. God still worked. He still had that son, and that son is John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And now he speaks to Mary, and we see a very different response. Now, what about Mary? You know, I think we probably, based on our backgrounds, fall into two camps. One would be this view of Mary as the mother of God. Not that she is the origin of that life, but that she actually raised the Christ child, and she did. But that can go to the extent of actually maybe putting up an altar. It might go to the fact of revering her above the level that she should be, maybe even praying to her. That's where some people fall. The way I grew up, I don't know that we even talked about Mary. The only time we saw Mary was in the nativity. That was pretty much it. And can I just tell you, that's a way too low of a view of Mary? That's way too low. That might be too high and not right, but this isn't right either. Here's this young girl. She's probably 16. She's a young woman, and God speaks to her. And she listens. Mary was poor. She had nothing in that sense to offer. And God says, "You're blessed." You know, if we compare that to how we think of blessings, she wasn't blessed. Her future was uncertain. She was just thankful that someone would marry her because they weren't going to get anything out of the marriage through her family. They weren't wealthy. She wasn't royalty in that sense. She didn't have all that. She was just a young person who believed God. And she's chosen. And we should say she's blessed. She is blessed. So she had to ask the question, "Who am I?" And you know, that's a pretty good place to start. Because we got to recognize that it's God that is the one that works through us. And when we think we have a lot to offer him, we're just going to get in the way. when we say, who am I? I don't know how this can happen. I don't know if this can happen, how it should go. She had to ask the question, what do you mean blessed? Well, continues in verse 29 through 31. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. You'll name him Messiah. You'll name him Redeemer, the promised one, the deliverer. That's who you're going to be, the mother of the deliverer, the Messiah. But she's confused and disturbed. You ever see something in Scripture that's confusing or disturbing? Right? Those that didn't raise your hand, you don't read it, apparently. There are things that are disturbing and confusing. You ever felt God nudge you to do something? You feel his leading? I should interject and say something? Or maybe I should just be quiet? That's confusing, right? I think about the things that in Scripture that God tells us, he gives us instructions like turn the other cheek. That's confusing to me. That's disturbing to me. Well, how many cheeks are they going to smack? It's not how you stop a bully. Is it? Don't you defend yourself? Peace through strength? What about when God says, don't let the sun go down on your anger? You know, when Karen and I are in an argument, and she hasn't figured out she's wrong yet, I'm angry because she doesn't see that. And Scripture says, don't go to sleep still angry. That's confusing and it's disturbing. That means I have to humble myself. But God's way is best. I could go on and on of the things that we find disturbing. How about this one? He's chosen us to be his messengers. Why doesn't he send the angel? Because I might believe an angel. Maybe your neighbor might believe an angel. And I can tell you, you're no angel. And the people you know, they know everything about you. But he's chosen you to be a messenger to take the gospel to them. Flawed as you are. That's confusing. It's disturbing. It was also disturbing because if she would have put up a pros and cons list, you ever teach your kids to do that? You ever do that yourself? Here's the pros of why I should make this decision. Here's the cons. Do you know on Mary's list there were only cons? I'm going to be accused of committing adultery. I've never even been with a man. I'm going to be accused of adultery. And the consequence under the Mosaic law for committing adultery was stoning. And maybe they wouldn't follow it because they weren't all that great at following all the laws. It probably depended more on who you were, and she was a nobody, so she might be stoned. That's a con. She's going to be shamed and shunned. She's going to bring embarrassment to her whole family and Joseph's whole family, and she's going to be ostracized. She's going to be shunned. There's the cons. What's the pros? She couldn't even imagine what the pros would be. Continues in verse 32, talking about the one that she'll name Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestors, David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. You're going to be the mom to the Savior of the world, to the King. And by the way, Joseph, it says right in the text that he's from the lineage of David. Well, guess what? That's the legal claim to the throne. Did you know that Mary is also in the line of David through Nathan? That's the blood right that Jesus is going to have to sit on the throne. And you know what? I love this, that as you're thinking about this dump, like we're breaking it up, we're taking 25 minutes to talk about it, all these verses. Do you know all this information came in one conversation that took about 2.5 minutes? You know what they teach as a preacher? Hey, don't do that. Don't just bring some content, just dump it on people. Well, we need time to adjust and think through it and process it, right? Well, good enough for Gabriel, good enough for me, right? He just dumped it. He wasn't worried about how she was going to process. He's just telling her the truth. He says this in verse 34. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." You know, Zechariah, her cousin's husband, he asked questions, but those questions were done in unbelief. It says he didn't believe. You know, some people think you're not supposed to ask questions of God. It depends on your heart. It depends on your attitude. Job asked a lot of questions that seemed out of bounds. And God was okay with that because of his heart. Mary asked, and it doesn't say, well, she didn't believe, because look at the difference in the questions. She's just asking, not what, how. She's accepted God's word as truth. She is curious. How? How is that going to work? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. How can I have a child? She's past the what everyone's going to say and think and what might happen to her. She's just saying, how are you going to do this, God? That is a legitimate question. When we think about the things he calls us into, you would be crazy not to ask, how are you going to do this, God? How are you going to use me in this situation? How? But that focus on him being the one that does it is so crucial, so important. This actually gives you the idea of the full surrender. And the candle we lit as we work through Advent and we get to the Christ candle, the first one for all of us is one of submission and surrender. That's what he's wanting. He wants us to be submitted and surrendered. And that's the first candle of Advent, like Mary, submitted, wondering how God was going to do it, not whether he could or would. She believed him. Said, how are you going to do this? And I think about how that is like Christ in the Advent, in him coming. How is God born a man? Well, he tells us the Holy Spirit came upon her. You know, that's never happened before, and it hasn't happened since. You know what we call that? A miracle. Can I ask you, do you believe in miracles? Good for you. Because our God is a God of miracles. God can do things that we never could do. He operates outside of our realm of understanding and the physical world that we live in. And I can only raise my hand about halfway, sometimes a little higher, sometimes a little lower. Mary believed in this miracle that she would conceive. It would be the Holy Spirit. That her son would be the Son of the Most High. He'd be the one who was the Redeemer. That God himself would take on flesh. And by the way, how about this one? Wouldn't you ask, how do you raise him? And we sing that song, "No Crying He Made." Really? I don't know. Can you imagine them being Mary seeing your own face in the face of Jesus, who was God in the flesh? You know, Mary was there in the beginning of his ministry in Cana. She's also there at the end. I'm guessing at the end there when Christ is on the cross, as he went there, what did he say? If there's any other way, but not my will, yours. That's surrender. Christ surrendered his will to the will of the Father. And that's all that he's asking of us. To surrender our wills to his will. Yes, wondering how he's going to do the things that he's calling us to. That little nudge that you have then as you're speaking with someone, as you're going about your day, just to say yes to him, to surrender and think about all the things this might cost you. Most of those, by the way, are imagined. But the opportunity that we miss out on because we won't surrender our will to his. I was thinking about the way that God works with unlikely people in unlikely places, turning the world upside down in that way too. And that gives me hope and courage for all of us. I think about the way that we're able to come together. And we have an opportunity to not just get to the end of 25 and be grateful that it's done and we can head into 26 with a new start. His mercies are new every day. You're here for a reason. You're watching online for a reason. And what if we just took the time to do Christmas the way God would intend, not follow those customs of the world, but we'd be like Mary and say, just as you said it, that we'd be like her, that God's word never fails. We trust him and we'd establish those memories and that we build Christmas for our families with a focus on him that they could take through their lifetime. And maybe in 30 years, 35 years from now, someone would be raising their hand and service. No, well, our church did this, and my parents did this. And I knew what Christmas was about because of how we operated around Christmas in our family. Go ahead and stand up as we close in worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your son. And Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and the humility and surrender that you showed so that you could save us. We're so grateful for that. Lord, I want to ask that you would help each one of us to see what Christmas truly is and the wonder of you coming to save, to redeem. Lord, I want to pray for each person as they leave here today, that they would recognize and hear your voice. Lord, I pray that we'd all be like Mary and just respond in faith, trusting you, believing you, that we'd have the courage that she did. Lord, we're thankful for Mary, an example that she is to all of us, even in her youth, that she knew you well enough that everything that you say comes true and she just trusted that. Lord, give us that same confidence as we seek to follow you. Lord, I pray you'd wake us up to the opportunities we have to have spiritual conversations with people around us. Lord, that we wouldn't weigh up the pros and the cons, that we just simply trust you and look to you for the how. We know that you give the increase, it's not us. So give us a boldness and a courage. Lord, give us your love. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Drive safe and have a great, cold, snowy week.